100 albums. One, Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
There it is. It is Vic's Picks right here on WGN, and we are very near the top of the list. Vic, what have we been listening to this week?
All week I've listened to only these two albums. We'll start with this one. Number three on this list, Revolver by the Beatles. This is their seventh studio album. Early, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I got, early psychedelic rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is right during the emergence of the counterculture movement that was going on at the time as well, and this was my first time listening to Revolver. Many critics have come to believe that this, including you, I believe, Nick, is the Beatles' greatest album.
I think it's their best album. I think, Tom, you agree with me on that, too?
I think it's in the conversation. I'm more Rubber Soul, but I think this is one of the most important leaps forward for pop music that ever existed.
Those two records back-to-back are, for me, the best albums that the Beatles have put out. But I'm a Revolver. If I had to pick one, I would pick Revolver.
I think I would, too, after listening to it all week. But then again, maybe I need to go back and listen to Rubber Soul again.
Yeah.
It's like so close. Because they're both amazing. But and this is also in the conversation of being one of the greatest albums, period, of all time, in the conversation, like Tom said. Yeah. But after researching the album a little bit, it's clear the Beatles were operating on a completely different level by the time they did Revolver. It was, by the time it was released, since if you go back to the day when they first came into the U.S., which I've listened to some of those albums back then, too. This is completely different, obviously. Here's some from track two on side one. My favorite, Eleanor Rigby.
I look at all the lonely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from?
That's a Paul McCartney song. The only music in the background is coming from a string octet. There's an interesting theory about the song's origins. I don't know if you've got anything to say about this, Nick, but I came across it while I was reading about it. But it was always unsubstantiated, and McCartney has recently even denied it. But it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's still a popular theory, too. And it's because it centers around a tombstone in Liverpool with the name Eleanor Rigby on it. I looked at a photo of it. The BBC even did an article on it just 2 years ago. And that tombstone with the grave plot, all as a combination, was even listed up for auction as Beatles memorabilia for the equivalent of about $8,000. But it's in a graveyard in Liverpool, and that graveyard's right beside a church where Paul and John Lennon reportedly met. So, rumor, I guess, but interesting. I thought it was pretty interesting. Anyway, I absolutely fell in love with that song. This next cut, I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Nick? Do you have any opinion
on
that?
I've heard that before. I'm not sure if it's okay. But I have heard that before.
Well, the next cut is, George Harrison records the guitar solo and then has the engineers mix it backwards. Track three on side one, I'm Only Sleeping.
I'm only sleeping. Seems to think I'm lazy. I don't mind. I think they're crazy. Running everywhere at such a speed. Until they find there's no need.
Man, that's good. The UK release would have been the better purchase if you bought this album, because that I'm Only Sleeping is not on the US release. The UK release had three more songs than the US release. I could go into more of that, but I don't, if we have time. But let's fit in a cut here from a ballad McCartney wrote. Said he was inspired by God Only Knows, a song from Pet Sounds album by the Beach Boys, which Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys was inspired to write by after listening to Rubber Soul album by the Beatles. So here's track 5 on side 1, Here, There, and Everywhere.
I want her everywhere, and if she's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love her is to need her everywhere.
That's a beautiful song. And yeah, and a little more from She Said. It's a Lennon song. It's track 7 on side 1. McCartney's not on it. He walked out after an argument in the studio, apparently. But Harrison had to do the lead guitar because of that, which I love, and the bass. So Tom's got some of that. Opening track on side 2, real quick as well. Good Day Sunshine, Tom.
Good Day Sunshine. Good Day Sunshine. Good Day Sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day.
I want to zip through those quickly because I wanted to hear what your guys' favorite songs were on this album. But to recap real quickly, because I like to go over the studio work, right after the Beatles album, Rubber Soul, Revolver was recorded right after Rubber Soul at EMI Studios in London, a studio again later renamed Abbey Road Studios. They spent 2 months in studio for this album. They were using a lot of acid. The amount of actual studio time, I read, more than doubled that spent working on Rubber Soul. It was released early August 1966 under the label Parlophone, right as the Beatles finished their final live tour. And it's considered, again, a groundbreaking record for, among other things, its innovation, sound engineering, the band's mastery by this time as musicians, artists, for the producers. It's just a phenomenal album. But I was curious to know what your do you have a favorite song on this album? Because I know it's your favorite Beatles album.
It's my favorite Beatles album. My favorite song on it is Tomorrow Never Knows.
Oh yeah,
which is I just think it's one of my favorite Beatles songs of all time, and it's definitely my favorite on Revolver. I also like She Said a lot. I like the whole album. I just think it's great, but my favorite song is Tomorrow Never Knows.
Tom, you have a favorite one on Revolver?
In terms of the ones that I listen to the most, definitely Taxman, because that's got one of the best bass lines
ever,
of all time.
Taxman has one of the best bass lines, and so does Rain. The Beatles. That's another one that has those two songs have two of the best bass lines in the history of music.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to Taxman now. I've listened to Revolver and the next album we're about to talk about. That's all I listened to all week, except one other album. Jeannie and I listened just for fun, a Steely Dan album. But I have to go back and listen to the bass line in Taxman. I'll have to do that.
And I have to say, Yellow Submarine is probably one of the worst songs ever written. I think it's terrible.
What do you think
it's really annoying.
I love it.
Really?
I love Yellow Submarine.
Give me Octopus's Garden if we're going to do Ringo Starr songs, but that's...
I heard that they wrote that. Who wrote that? Was it either Paul? I think it was Paul.
Paul wrote Yellow Submarine.
Wrote it simply, like a simple song because of...
Ringo.
For Ringo, because his vocal abilities weren't that,
I love the song. I love the movie. I think the animated movie is awesome. I got no issues at all with Yellow Submarine. I think it's great.
How much time do we have before we have to break?
We've got a break here in a minute.
Well, 1 minute. The Beatles, they didn't consider their name for this album until they finished recording it in the studios. Barry Miles writes about it in a book called Many Years From Now, says the album was almost named After Geography. Have you heard?
I have.
This is hilarious. The Stones had just released Aftermath.
Right.
And the Beatles and the Stones had this thing going where each band would try to add a musical response to the other band's last release. So Ringo came up with After Geography as a joke because that was the class he took.
Aftermath.
So funny, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious. No, that's true. That's absolutely true. But they did have a fun rivalry with the Stones at that point. Like who's going to top each other.
Right.
And you were mentioning, you know, the fact that they were inspired by the Beach Boys and the Beach Boys were inspired by them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was happening at the time too, as we'll find out after we break, because, you know, the next album is by the Beach Boys. It is interesting how that they worked off of each other.
Very.
Yeah. So cool. So you liked Revolver overall?
I loved it. And I do think it's probably my favorite so far Beatles album as well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's great stuff.
There's
not a dead song on that in the entire album. So it's a great one. All right. So that's Revolver. And, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to give you the weather in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, it's more of Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn learning about music, and we're getting towards the end of this list. And Vic, we want to do more of this, so we want you to explore more music outside of this list so that we can continue to do this segment.
I think I listened to all the great ones, though.
Yeah, you did.
So
you're getting
done.
Close, but you got to get some more out there.
I'll keep going.
Okay, cool. All right, hang on, everybody. We got the weather here, and then when we come back, we got one more album to talk about for Vic's Picks.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
Nothing wrong with this song at all.
I'm a little with Tom on that one, I gotta admit.
I love it. I think it's great.
Great album. Yeah, great album, though.
Well, that's Revolver. Yep. We got more of Vic's Picks here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Vic, what's the next one here?
All right, we got number two, Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. 13 songs, 38 minutes. Beach Boys, an American rock band from L.A. County. This is their 11th studio album, Pet Sounds. Band was co-founded quickly in 1961 by brothers Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson. Their cousin Mike Love and their friend Al Jardine later joined in 65 by Brian Johnston. He would fill in for Brian Wilson when Wilson kind of pulled back from the live performances to focus more on the studio stuff. So Brian's widely regarded as a musical genius, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Innovator. Just wrapped up a greatest hits tour over the weekend, actually, he did with Jardine. Brian Wilson did. But he's quoted as saying that he was inspired to create this album after listening to Rubber Soul, which we just talked about last week by the Beatles. It was number five on this RS Top 100 Greatest Albums of All Time, according to Rolling Stone. And we just went over it. But there's a lot written about how this album, Pet Sounds, inspired the Beatles. And I came across a really interesting article in People magazine while reading about this album. Wilson said for Pet Sounds, they'd been together for a while by this time, obviously. Says they were ready to grow musically, ready to do something experimental with, in his words, a lot of love. Which makes sense if you've listened to Pet Sounds. I've been looking forward to this one for months. I'd never listened to it before, although I did know a couple of songs. And here's one of them from the leadoff track, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long. And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong. No one's gonna make it that much better when we can say goodnight and stay together.
So it's nearly impossible to pick just a few tracks from this album, kind of like Revolver, but from what I've read, that one kind of generally universally loved by people who enjoy this album. Brian Wilson wrote it with Tony Asher. Asher's a British-American lyricist who Wilson wrote a lot with. Asher says the idea behind the song was Wilson's, this idea of being too young to get married but still deeply in love. Mike Love, producer, singer for the band, also was their front man for live shows. He also helped on the writing of Wouldn't It Be Nice. As for the studio work on Pet Sounds, the Beach Boys worked on this album for 9 months, from July 1965 to April of 66. It was all done at recording studios in either Hollywood or Greater Los Angeles. Here's another cut, though. This one's from track one on side two, God Only Knows.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Yeah, that another one written by Brian Wilson and Asher. Brian got Carl to sing it. He thought his voice was better suited for it. I even read Carl didn't want to do that initially, because he was like, no, you wrote this. And then they prayed about it and prayed that people would like it, and Carl sang it. But it's a good example, though, of why, I think, of why this album's considered a masterpiece.
God Only Knows is one of the greatest songs ever recorded.
I would agree with that. I mean, from what I've heard so far.
Yeah, no, it's one of the it is truly one of the greatest songs ever recorded. We've been talking off the air about this album, Vic. I've been pumping it up to you for mm-hmm. a long time. This is one of the best albums ever recorded. This is the album that, as we were talking about, Beatles were inspired by Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Beach Boys were inspired by Beatles. When the Beatles heard this album, they went, oh, mm-hmm. man. You know, and they had to answer back. And it inspired Sgt. Pepper. It was that's what inspired them to do Sgt. Pepper.
And but, I read that same article in People that I found. It was a really interesting quote by, I can't remember the producer's name, but there was a producer that worked with the Beach Boys, and they were in London, at the Waldorf in London, I believe. And this producer was able to get, the Beach Boys were, and he was able to get Paul McCartney and John Lennon to the Beach Boys hotel room. And he says in this article that he had two copies of the Beach of Pet Sounds, and he wanted Paul and John to listen to it. And they did, and they put it on twice while they were playing cards in this hotel room, and they listened to it twice, and and like you said, it inspired them to do that next album. Yeah. And then also Here, There, and Everywhere by the Beatles directly was inspired by God Only Knows. That Paul McCartney says that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
God Only Knows also, by the way, used fantastically at the end of Boogie Nights, the movie Boogie Nights. Mm. Fantastically. Okay.
Reading through my notes here, one other thing I want to say about God Only Knows that was interesting was, I think it was Johnston, took his girlfriend to the recording studio when they were first starting to record that song. And he says he walked in and the studio was packed. He said it was too small for the number of musicians. Like, it lends itself to what you were saying, Nick, that the way the innovation they used on this album was just kind of unmatched at the time. And he said there was an entire string section. And
yeah.
Brian Wilson, according to Johnson in this article, was just dialed in like he'd never seen before for that song when they were in the studio. But it's really cool to read that. But
yeah,
Brian Wilson himself now says that something Phil Spector taught him. Spector, legendary producer. I listened to a Spector album for this project. Back to Mono was the album. Nearly 4 hours of music that he produced. But Brian Wilson says Spector taught him how to combine instruments into one sound where you can't tell what's what. That's kind of how this album, Pet Sounds, turned out. But let's fit in another piece here quickly. This one's from track four, side two, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
Looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they
And so I couldn't fit the whole, it takes him a minute and 20 seconds to get to the chorus, so I wanted to skip here to the next cut. It's of the chorus of that same song. I think you've got it, Tom, but a little bit more from I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
Right,
And I finish up with track 7, going back to side 1, Sloop John B. Tom?
Come on, Sloop John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did run. Drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broke.
And Brian Wilson, basically I've learned from Brian Wilson, I was reading about him, that he said that's an old Kingston Trio song. That's an American folk
yep.
group. Yeah, they got popular playing the nightclubs of San Francisco, and the Beach Boys really liked their stuff. Johnson says, Brian Johnston said they added a few chords to make it sound like the Beach Boys, and that was it. But yeah, Pet Sounds, the pleasure, Nick, that I got out of listening to this album, which I listened to probably 5 times this week, is difficult to measure. I loved it.
Yeah, it's really one of the greatest. And Brian Wilson is a genius. And if you, and he struggled with mental illness too, big time. And if you ever want to see a really terrific movie that they made about Brian Wilson, it's called Love and Mercy. And it features John Cusack and Paul Dano, who play them at who play Brian Wilson at different times in his life.
Oh,
it's called Love and Mercy. You should check it out.
I will definitely do that.
But Pet Sounds, one of the greatest albums of all time.
One more album to go.
Exactly, one more album to go, and we'll do that next week. So there it is. That's Vic's Picks, everybody, and it'll return next week for another edition. Okay, the news is coming up right after this.